Christmas Eve. We are so glad that every one of you are joining us here and in the balcony and all of you joining us online. On behalf of everyone at Purpose Church, Merry Christmas Eve. And I tell you this every time I see you, and I mean it. I love you. I love all of you. But the most important thing, and really the reason that Christmas is such a big deal, is because God demonstrated something. He demonstrated that he loves you, that he loves all of you. And I just think there are some people here today who just simply need to hear that, that you are not an afterthought, but God loves you. Well, if you brought your Bibles with you, let's open to Luke chapter 2. And while you're opening to Luke chapter 2, we're talking about Christmas for everyone. Christmas for everyone. But the truth is, not everything about Christmas is for everyone. Christmas is for everyone, but not everything about Christmas is for everyone. And so I need to find out who my people are here. And so we're gonna play a little game called Love It or Hate It Christmas Edition, okay? So there's gonna be a little call and response. I'm gonna need you to raise your hand so I can see where you're at. We're gonna kind of assess the room here. I'm gonna throw up some things on the screen. I need to know whether you love it or whether you hate it. So first thing is this, Christmas music in November. If you love it, would you raise your hand? I just wanna see where you're at. Okay, all right. If you hate it, if you're just like, I'm not about it, raise your hand. Okay, you're a sinner, but you're still welcome here, okay? You're still welcome here. I think we have another one, let's see. Ooh, Black Friday shopping. Raise your hand if you love it. Raise your hand if you love it. Okay, all right. Raise your hand if you don't love, if you hate Black Friday. Okay, we got some opinionated people here. All right, we have another one for you. Another one is this. Eggnog. Raise your hand if you raise both hands. I see both hands. I see you're getting saved again. Okay, I see that. All right, raise your hand if you're just like, eggnog's not my thing. I don't like it. I am not about the eggnog. Okay, that's okay. I think we have another one. Oh, now this is controversial. Okay, this is controversial. How many of you are all about the artificial trees? Yeah, you are proud. You are proud. I know you, you're my people. All right, raise your hand if it's a real tree only for you, real tree only. Okay. I think we may have a few more, let's see. The next one is Elf on the Shelf. Now you parents know once you commit to this, you are like all in. Raise your hand if you love Elf on a Shelf. All the kids' hands went up, okay. Raise your hand if you're not a big fan of Elf on the Shelf. Okay, all right, we have two more. How about this one? Gift cards as Christmas gifts. Raise your hand if you love it. I love a good Christmas. I love a good gift card. All right, how many? If you just think that's not okay, raise your hand if you are not about the gift card for Christmas. Okay, and here's the last one. Love it or hate it, matching family pajamas. And all the moms, and we just do it for you because we love you. All right, raise your hand if you love it, if you love the matching pajamas. Okay. Raise your hand if you're like, no, can't do that again. Okay, so I used to feel that way. This is the first picture of us as a family with Charlie. When Charlie, our oldest, he's 12 now, but when he was a baby, this was our first matching family Christmas photos. And I know, I'm being really vulnerable here, okay? This is a grown man in feety pajamas, okay? That should terrify you a little bit. Had a lot more hair then. But the tradition has continued. This is another photo of our whole family in Christmas pajamas. You see, Christmas is for everyone, but not everything about Christmas is for everyone. And I love Christmas, and I love decorating for Christmas. I love the lights, I love all of that. The thing I don't love is heights. I mean, I'm terrified of heights on all levels. And my wife Sarah and I, with our kids, we used to live in a two-story house. And every year, my wife Sarah would say, Eric, what do you think about getting on the ladder and putting Christmas lights up on the second story? And I would say, do you want me to survive the holidays? Like, do you still want a husband? Because I'm gonna fall, I'm gonna be terrified, it's not gonna be good. And so one year I told myself, a couple years ago, I said, all right, I'm gonna man up. Like, it's time to be a real man. It's time to get up on a ladder and put the lights up. And so I borrowed a ladder from my neighbor, I leaned it up against my house, and I got two steps up and I froze. I froze and I started to panic. I was like, I actually can't do this. Like, I don't know about this. And I'm psyching myself out. I'm kind of freaking out. And then all of a sudden, one of my neighbors who was down the street had just kind of moved in. His name was Ocho. And Ocho was a really cool dude, and he comes walking down to greet me, and he's saying hi, and he had just left, kind of, he had this party at his house, and he comes walking down the street, and he's like, Eric, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm like, Ocho, my wife wants me to put Christmas lights up on the second story, but I don't want to die. What am I going to do? And Ocho, I'm just going to be just keeping it real here. He had a little bit of liquid courage running through his body, and so Ocho, he said, I can do that for you. And he climbed up on that ladder and he grabbed the lights. And in a matter of like 5 minutes, the whole thing, the lights were strung. It was beautiful. I was on the phone with our insurance company, like, this guy might die. What do we do? How do we handle that? And he hung the Christmas lights. It was amazing. Our kids were literally chanting as he was up there, Ocho, Ocho, Ocho. I mean, it was awesome. It was one of the most memorable Christmas moments. It was unforgettable. And that first Christmas, oh, it was even far more unforgettable. You see, Luke, who wrote a historical account of the life of Jesus, he takes a full 87 verses to finally get to the point where he says, Mary gave birth to Jesus. Now, you gotta know this about Luke. Luke was a doctor, he was a historian, he was a researcher, so it's important for him to get all the details right, to have accurate information, to set up the context. Because it was an absolute miracle that Jesus was even born. I mean, one of the other historical accounts of the life of Jesus, the Gospel of Matthew, tells us that Jesus was born during the time of King Herod. And King Herod was so disturbed at the birth of Jesus, this new king of the Jews, that he actually sent out a memo to end the lives of every person that would have been Jesus's age or younger. You see, it's against the odds that Jesus was even born. It's as if Christmas is God's global notification 2,000 years ago that continues to ring powerfully true to this moment of his arrival. That's what Christmas is about. It's about God's arrival. Now, this Christmas, I think God wants you to know four things. Whether you've been to Purpose Church or not, whether you're far from God, whether you love him, whether you were guilted into being here, I don't know what brought you here, but I know this, that God wants you to know four things this Christmas. The first thing he wants you to know is this: God is closer than you think. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 says this, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Now, a few verses before that, we find out that Jesus, he wasn't born in the Ritz-Carlton. He wasn't born in some presidential suite. He wasn't born in some renowned children's hospital, but Jesus was born in the living room of a small home in Bethlehem, on the lower level that would have been crowded with animals who were brought in to protect them from predators and to keep the whole house warm. And he was eventually placed into the very feeding trough that they would have been eaten out of, You see, in King David's day, 1,000 years before Jesus was born, shepherds were an admired group of people. It was an aspirational occupation. But by the time Jesus is born in the first century, shepherds were despised. In fact, a historian of the ancient Near East, Dr. R. Kent Hughes, he says this: shepherds were despised by the good, respectable people of that day. According to the Mishnah, which is recorded Jewish oral traditions, shepherds were under a ban. They were regarded as thieves. The only people lower than shepherds at that particular time in Jewish history were lepers. Friends, make no mistake about it. The shepherds were not on some religious journey trying to find God. They were not on some spiritual pilgrimage trying to get right with God. The shepherds were not on a mission to be near God, but God was on a mission to be near the shepherds. The shepherds were not on a mission to be near God, but God was on a mission to be near the shepherds. You see, God's proximity to the shepherds says everything about his desired proximity to you. It's why later in Jesus' life, he would be called a friend of sinners. The second thing I believe God wants you to know this Christmas is this: God is notifying you that he is real. Verse 9 says this: an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. God used some angels to notify these shepherds that he was real. I imagine during this Christmas season, more of your notifications have been on your smart devices or on your emails. You've been paying more attention to notifications of when will that package arrive? When will that gift arrive? How can we hide it from the family member that we got it for? You see, we're very aware during this December season of the notifications and the messages and the deals and the discounts that we are receiving. But let me ask you a question. Are your spiritual notifications on? Have you turned on your spiritual notifications this season to hear from God and to recognize that he is real? Let me ask you a reflective question. How has God been trying to get your attention in 2024? It's been a long year. There's been a lot going on in all of our lives. How has God been trying to get a hold of your attention in 2024? Maybe it's through something really good that happened this last year. Maybe you got a new job. Maybe you met some new friends. Maybe there's this new desire in you to seek truth and to know if God is real. Maybe you received some kind of blessing that you didn't expect, and maybe God is trying to get your attention through that. But here's what's wild about God is he can use the good things in our lives to get our attention as well as the difficult and painful things. I mean, maybe this year you experienced unemployment. Maybe you experienced a health diagnosis that has rocked your world. Maybe there's some sin or some secret that just got discovered that it seems like you're living a whole new life now in the aftermath. Maybe you've gone through some doubts and wondering about whether God is even real. Maybe you've discovered for the first time your limitations this year. Maybe it was the betrayal of a loved one. Maybe it's a new insecurity you're experiencing. Well, God wants you to know that he is real, and he will even use the good things that we experience and the bad things to reveal himself to us. And maybe you're wondering, who is this real Jesus? Well, I want to invite you to come on a journey with us, especially if you don't have a church home. We're continuing a series that's going to go all the way into June, looking at the Gospel of Matthew. We're slowly moving through it, trying to discover what did Jesus actually say? What did Jesus actually do? And what does it mean to actually follow him? And so I want to invite you back even next Sunday to consider exploring the real Jesus. The third thing I believe God wants you to know is God is for you, not against you. Verses 10, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." Oh, we're gonna do that again, okay. A Savior has been born to
you.
A Savior, the angel to a group of shepherds. A Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. I mean, this was the most unexpected, emotional, powerful part of this whole story. I mean, we're talking about the proclamation, the declaration of the arrival of the Messiah, of God in the flesh, of the one who was promised to come and rescue all people. And this announcement is being made to the shepherds, to you and to me and to everyone everywhere, to all people. The shepherds are kind of like the herdman children. I don't know if any of you got an opportunity this December or November to see the movie, The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. But if you didn't get a chance to see this movie, I wanna recommend you take time to see this movie. It's primarily about the herdmen children who have the worst reputation in their town. Yet all six of these kids force their way into the town's famous and historic 75th annual Christmas pageant, where church member Grace Bradley is tasked with somehow using these delinquent children to tell the Christmas story. And those same children, who everyone in town had given up on, they end up teaching the whole community what Christmas is all about. I mean, these ragamuffin, rowdy, and rough kids, they represent all of us. The herdmen children in the movie are like the shepherds in Luke's gospel. The point is, we all belong in God's story. That he made a spot for all of us because he came to all of us for all of us. For everyone, everywhere. In fact, we have a quick trailer of this movie. You'll see and experience some of the emotion that I'm describing. Let's watch this together.
You volunteered to direct the Christmas pageant?
It's going to be the best Christmas pageant ever.
We're gonna be in your Bible play.
Herdmans in church.
I thought you might be interested in one of my socks.
You never told me you visited the Herdmans.
Christmas comes for everyone.
Deep down, those kids might just have good instincts.
Don't touch him!
I smell smoke.
I said deep down.
The best Christmas pageant ever. Only in theaters November 8th.
Christmas comes for everyone. Friends, there's absolutely no reason God would ever overlook you. There's absolutely no reason God would ever overlook you. He did precisely the opposite. He came for you. And some of you have convinced yourself, or others have lied to you and said, oh, God doesn't want anything to do with you. You're too far gone. You've been too distant from him. You haven't been to church in a while. God is not interested in overlooking you because he did precisely the opposite. He came for you, and he's still coming for you. I mean, this is what Jesus meant in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Maybe you don't know this, but Jesus has already chosen you. When he went to the cross and died and rose from the dead on your behalf, it was his declaration that he has chosen you. The question of Christmas is, have you chosen him? Which leads to the fourth thing that I think God wants you and I to know this Christmas. God is inviting you to come and see, then go and share. Verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Did you hear it? The shepherds, they hurried off. They spread the word about what God had done. Why? Because good news must be shared. Good news was never meant to stay with you and with I, but good news must be shared. I mean, all these years later, our kids still talk about Ocho. They still talk about Ocho on the ladder, and they still tease me. They say, Dad, great job freezing on the ladder for 10 minutes. They still tell the story of Ocho. Why? Because Ocho risked something for their benefit. Friends, God risked everything to fulfill his most important mission, showing the way and making a way, the way, for everyone everywhere to follow Jesus. I wonder if you're here today and you haven't yet made that decision to follow Jesus. You see, it was a little later in Luke's gospel that he tells a story about a man Jesus met who was also an outcast like the shepherds, somebody who was socially despised, somebody who many said he's too far gone. And maybe you believed that lie for far too long that you are too far gone. Well, his name was Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. And after experiencing the love of Jesus and recognizing that Jesus even came for him, he repented, he apologized, he gave his life over to Christ and he began to follow him. And then Jesus said these famous words in Luke 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man, he was talking about himself, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And the truth is, if you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you have not received his forgiveness, if he is not your Lord and Savior, then you are lost. But here's the good news. You can be found. Jesus is standing at the door, knocking, waiting for you to open up. I want to invite everyone here to close their eyes, whether you're here on the bottom floor, or you're up in the balcony, or you're joining us online. I want to invite everyone to close their eyes right now. It's clear that Jesus came for everyone everywhere. The shepherds, the magi, Zacchaeus, and for each one of us that have gathered here and everyone listening and watching at home, Jesus came for us. The question is, do you belong to Jesus? Have you given your life to him? And I'm telling you, there is no better Christmas present you could receive than salvation and forgiveness for your sins. That you and I have a choice to make. Will we spend all of eternity separated from God, or will we spend eternity with him? Jesus has made it possible for us to live with him and for him today and forevermore. The question is, have you made that decision to make him your Lord and Savior? If you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, if you have not begun following him and received his forgiveness, and you're ready to repent and to turn to him and to follow him, with every eye closed, I want to give you a moment right now to raise your hand as a way of saying, Jesus, I want to give you my life. It doesn't matter what age or stage you're in, if you're in the balcony, on the floor, online, I want to invite you right now to raise your hand. If you want to put your faith in Jesus for the first time, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ and follow him, go ahead and raise your hand. And with your hands raised, I want to invite you to silently pray this prayer after me. Jesus, I confess that my sin is a problem I can't fix. I believe that you died on the cross to forgive me. I trust that you rose from the dead, proving you are God. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Today and every day, I choose to follow you. You can open your eyes. If you prayed that prayer, you just made the most important and best decision of your life. And you've got five steps I want to encourage you to take. The first one is let us know. At the end of this service, we'll have some of our team up here and we have a gift for you to help you begin to follow Jesus. And so come forward at the end of the service so that we can meet you and give you that gift. And inside of that gift bag, you'll find a Bible. I wanna encourage you to read your Bible. It's the story of who God is, the story of who we really are and what it means to follow him. I wanna encourage you to pray daily. You can talk freely and openly with God. I want to encourage you to join one of our life groups. In January, we're going to be assembling groups of people that are trying to figure out how to follow Jesus together. And then lastly, share Jesus with someone. Tell the person you came with, the person you're going home to, your friends and family from wherever you're at. Tell them what Jesus has done for you this Christmas. Well, I'd like to invite everyone to stand up. We have a tradition at Purpose Church on Christmas Eve. We sing Silent Night together. I wanna invite you to go ahead and take out that candle that you received when you walked in and to go ahead and turn it on. And as you turn it on, if you wanna just go ahead and hold it high for us, And as you're holding that candle up and as we're preparing to sing Silent Night together, would you hear these words from Jesus in Matthew chapter 5? You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Would you join us in singing Silent Night?